man. All right, Preston. So it's your first interview, you were saying, right?
First interview ever.
Yeah. You nervous?
Kind of.
A little closer to you.
Kind of nervous. Yeah, a little bit nervous.
Yeah, man.
Usually, like, when I... Like, if I'm performing, I get nervous up until I'm on the stage, and then... And then I'm not anymore, and it all goes away.
Yeah.
But this is more... I know my lyrics. I don't know what I'm going to say to you.
Yeah. It's like... Don't want to be corny, but it's like very silent,
yeah,
almost.
Exactly.
But Mason and I were talking yesterday about, you know, performing in front of people and how it can be a little bit nerve-wracking, you know, at first. But then you kind of just get into it and you start to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So first thing I wanted to ask you is about the album. Or how do you see it? Do you see it as like a mixtape or an album?
An album. Album straight up, produced by my new friend, Andrew Boonstra. His name is Live Minds on Instagram, and he hit me up, and he's been making beats for the past, like, 11 years, and he just hit me up because he likes my rap style, and he gave me a bunch of beats and charges me the low, works within my means so that I could pay for all this, pay for the mixing and the mastering, and yeah, it is my first studio album, Waves.
Congrats, man. I mean, I listened to it earlier on, and it was pretty good. The production was really sound, like it was really smooth. You know, some songs that I really liked were probably Vibe, New Swag.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, actually, it was really interesting, the part with the Forrest Gump sample in, was it Vibe?
Yeah.
What made you put that in there?
I honestly...
Were you a fan of the movie?
Definitely a fan of the movie, big fan. But I don't remember what I was thinking when I was like, Forrest Gump would go perfect right here. So... Yeah.
Was it your producer that kind of suggested that to you, or did you want to put that in there?
I was alone. I'm usually alone when I'm making, when I'm, like, deciding what's going to happen with the songs. They don't really give me much, like, feedback as to what I should add to my songs, but they do, they vocal coach me here and there, but other than that, they don't really give me any creative suggestions, because he gave me a key to his house, so I work alone out of his area.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And when you work alone, like, I didn't ask you this, but do you produce beats yourself?
Not yet, but I'm learning to finesse Pro Tools right now. So I'm learning all that, but it takes a lot to make a beat and to, like, understand it and practice. It's pretty much kind of like playing an instrument in a way.
Yeah.
Making beats. So I definitely need more practice, but I'm learning and I'm going to get there one day.
Yeah, I heard, this was a while ago, maybe, I think it was like June, maybe last year, summer,
yeah.
It was Quavo, and Quavo was talking about how he was learning to make beats,
yeah,
and things like that, and I thought that was just pretty cool to hear, because he's like such a big artist with Amigos, but just to hear him be like, yeah, I want to do this, I want to like learn how to actually produce, I want to make beats and things like that, and so...
I'm in that same boat.
And I think that's most like hip-hop artists or
yeah,
any artist,
definitely.
Is that they'll want to... have a bigger part in what they're doing.
Yep.
You know, and have more like creative process.
Definitely.
Things like that.
Exactly. I'm learning to like explain what I want better to my
producers.
Yeah. To my master. So yeah, that's definitely the process of making a song is getting easier and faster. And, yeah.
So what did you find? Well, like you said, Pro Tools.
Yeah.
Have you tried Ableton or anything?
I haven't really tried any other stuff. So
is it pretty user friendly though? I've
Pro Tools seems pretty user friendly so far. Maybe it's because my coach is a super mad scientist genius, but he's making it. It's coming out. He says it comes natural to me. So
it's kind of cool when you can have that sort of feedback.
Yeah,
it almost gives you a bit more confidence.
Yeah.
It's like when you have that little bit extra.
Exactly. He's not only a good teacher, but he like lets me know like, hey, you're making progress. I see you understanding. So
yeah,
we're definitely moving forward when it comes to that.
Yeah that's cool. So I may be wrong about this, but was there another song on the album called Be Free, or was it Free?
No Free song. Feel It.
Feel It, that was
Feel
the song
it.
That I was thinking of, because that was probably my favorite that I heard because of the sample at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like really
Man.
Almost soulful.
Yeah, definitely. That.
And it hit me like I had to stop what I was doing because I was like almost taken out of my work to just really like focus and listen
That's
to
cool.
what happened, like what the song
That's
like
my
what
goal.
Was going on in the song.
That's
so
my goal.
Yeah, can you explain that to me? Like, that whole writing process or the recording of it?
So, like, I wasn't even... Adding that sample, I wasn't even... I just knew that the beat needed some sort of, like, kind of soulful talking. Like, I didn't know what it was going to be or who it was going to be. I wanted to put, like, J. Cole speaking some hot knowledge.
Mm.
Or, like, somebody super that has the voice. And I was just typing, like, keywords in on the internet and came across this guy, Lonnie Smith Jr., and he's just an artist, and this was a piece from one of his interviews, and I just took pieces of it and put it in there, and yeah, right when I put it in, I knew, I was like, dude, I just made a hit right there. I was like, dude, I'm out. I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Found the perfect sample. That's the best feeling, when you find the perfect sample to match the song, because you don't want to overdo it and put something stupid in there that's going to make it, like, corny.
Yeah.
But when you know, you know.
Yeah.
When it comes to samples.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because New Swag to me was, like, probably, like, almost a single. I don't want to say that's, like...
It definitely was.
Because it has, like, really good hook and just great beat.
It dropped. It was the single.
But Feel It was, like, that song, almost like that... I don't want to say hole in the wall, but it's, like, a hidden gem.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
definitely.
It almost reminded me, too, of... Because I was listening to 2 Chainz album this year.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one on there that was called Money in the Way.
Okay.
And it reminded me a lot of that song, because it had that soulful presence that that 2 Chainz song had.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this reminds me of that.
Okay, that's good.
You know, but...
Mimicking Grace.
Yeah. So, who are, like, your big inspirations to do music?
J. Cole. J. Cole is the... He's the GOAT. He's my... He's just the GOAT. I don't really...
That's it, yeah.
He makes me feel some type of way. I saw him twice this year, or last year. I saw him in Salt Lake City and in Kansas. But yeah, that man, I might as well just say this. This is my first interview. I'm gonna give you all the dirty details. It's not dirty, but I...
No, man, say it.
Yeah. J. Cole, I've had dreams about him where we've had conversations, and... Just because I've watched so many interviews about him and just studied his music and his voice, I've literally had dreams where I've met him and had conversations and then woke up, like, super disappointed and depressed that it wasn't true. And this has happened, like, 7 or 8 times in my life. Nobody else have I dreamt about like that, but, like,
yeah.
I've met him already, so.
You met him already?
In
your dreams.
Yeah. I know when I do actually meet him, I'm going to be, like, a super fangirl and probably faint, but, like...
Yeah. There's always those people. Always those people that you super, like, admire.
Yeah.
And then you think, if I ever met them,
I'd
probably freak out and just, like, cry, you know?
Yep.
But, man, J. Cole. What do you think about people who... Because, you know, social media has such a big presence. What do you think about people who trash some of his music or say it's boring? Do you see any side in that?
I think that's just kind of nonsense, gibberish, honestly. I don't think they're actually taking the time. If you think that his music doesn't have substance, you're not paying attention. You're not looking deep enough.
Mm-hmm.
You're not actually, you're just not actually paying attention, in my opinion. But everyone's entitled to their own opinion, so
that's
not going to knock anybody for not liking an artist, but in my head, I'll judge you.
Yeah, because he does have such a big presence.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people will look up to him and kind of like Jid, you know, I know he's on his label and Boss too.
Mm-hmm.
And you can almost hear that sound bleed over into some of their music.
Yeah,
which
definitely.
Is pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, he's got so much soul. I strive to be like J. Cole, because everything he talks about and just the way he uses his voice is just so soulful. He's what I strive to be.
He's kind of like a guru.
Yeah.
He's on, like, the way, like, he kind of grew his hair out.
Yeah.
And everything, and he kind of became, like,
he's different. He's definitely, I think he has the most swag in the rap game.
Yeah.
Everything that embodies him as a person is just, it's opinion, but he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny because when he was coming up, I think he did Born Sinner, and then he didn't do an album for, I think, maybe 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
But then, like, once Forest Hills Drive came out, he was kind of talking about how he dealt with fame and how he wasn't that acclimatized to it, and he didn't feel like he fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost, like, took a step back.
Yeah.
Did you, like, what do you think of that?
I just hope, I'm not there yet, but I hope that doesn't happen to me. I don't think it will, because I had a role model like him.
Mm-hmm.
I think once fame smacks me in the mouth, I'm going to go listen to Born Sinner and know that the shiny chains that's just blinding you. It's, John Bellion is another person I look up to in that sense because he really sticks close to his roots and what makes him him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I think you're finding that more and more with artists these days is that they're really trying to stick to their own, like, sense of self.
Yeah.
And their own identity.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, you know, because it almost makes them more relatable and you enjoy their music
facts.
More. But there was another... Yeah, you reminded me quite a bit of Joey Badass's first album when I was listening to Waves. There was, I can't remember.
Can I curse?
Yeah,
yeah.
The famous question.
Yeah.
I kind of asked that yesterday.
I won't be vulgar.
But, like, if we want to slip, like, you know, a fuck or two.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But, yeah, Joey Badass is a badass.
He is a badass. He's literally
he opened for Logic. I saw him open for Logic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was that the tour they did like 2 years ago?
It was in Lincoln at the outside little venue.
Mm-hmm.
Their pole in Lincoln.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool.
I hear a lot of people talk shit on Logic, especially where Logic will like copy his sound from. Because a lot of people feel like he's not getting his own sound. He's like getting it from like Drake and Kendrick and Cole.
I disagree with that because I think just I do as well. I pull styles from artists, always have since I was six. Like, mm-hmm. when I was like 6 years old, I was rapping, trying to sound exactly like Tupac, singing Dear Mama, trying to mimic it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And other artists, Nas, Biggie, all the goats that I look up to, and I pulled my style from all them, and now I've created my own style by meshing theirs.
Yeah.
And I definitely think that Logic has his own, there's no Logic out there.
Yeah.
The closest thing is like Jid, and they're still completely different in my eyes as rappers.
Yeah. Logic just seems like he's such a fan, almost. Like he's just a fanboy of these artists.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, yeah.
And that comes across so hard.
I love that about him, that he looks up to his girls,
mm-hmm.
and I look up to him. I opened for Logic.
You did?
Yeah. I opened for Logic in 2000 and last year. I think
18
yeah.
last year. Did you get to meet him?
No, I did not get to meet him. It was depressing, honestly, because like as at his level, I would just know like what it took, the struggle that it takes to like get to his level. So I would, if I was like knew my opener was a rapper, I would want to meet him out of anybody,
mm-hmm.
in the arena.
Yeah,
never got to meet him, so that stung.
Yeah.
A stung. But later down the line, at a music festival it's called Hangout. It's in Alabama. I met him, like just like super casually in this like VIP section. He was performing. I've seen him perform like 4 times, but saw him there, and he was just playing a piano like symphony right behind me. I was like, this is fate. I was like. The fact that I didn't meet him when I opened for him a year ago, but I'm meeting him a year later in a completely random situation, I was like, I'm meeting him right now. So I like kind of approached, but I seen his whole team sitting there and his bodyguard. So I looked at his bodyguard. I was like, bruh, make this happen. I was like, I gotta meet him.
Yeah.
I was like, come here. He was like, what do you want, man? I was like, I opened for him and never got to meet him. Can you make that happen? He's like, oh, bet. Yeah, no problem. So I met him, and he walked up to me. He shook my hand. He said, "This is a touchy subject for me." But long story short, I don't want to talk bad on him, but he kind of just didn't take me seriously. And I'm like, "Dude, I opened for you first of all. I spit a verse just as good as yours, in my opinion, on one of your beats." And he was just like asking me, he asked me how I got my abs. He asked me, and then he asked me how old I was like 10 times. And then
10 times?
That's exaggerating. 3 times.
Two times too many.
And then at the end of it, he asked me if I wanted a hug. And I was like, yes, I do want a hug because I look up to you so heavily, but man, this conversation, it's not how I expected it to go. And it hurt. It hurt for a while, but I instantly realized that he's just a human, and at his level, he probably has a lot of shit on his plate. So I just know if I was him, I might have done some things different in our interaction.
Yeah.
But the contrast to that, which is a cool story, I met him. I was sad because he kind of like was like, treat me like a kid, whatever.
Almost like condescending.
Condescending.
Yeah.
Condescending, definitely. So that hurt. But right after that, I was walking away into this trailer, and it was Anderson .Paak's trailer. And do you like Anderson .Paak? Like,
yeah.
He's the shit. I had no clue because I was drunk. I didn't know what I was walking into.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I hear his, I think his name's Jose. He's the bassist in Anderson .Paak's Free National Band.
Mm-hmm.
He was just beatboxing, and I walked in, and what I do when I hear a beat is start rapping.
Yeah.
Jose from the Free Nationals, Anderson .Paak's Free National Band. Jose was, and I only know this because I stalked him on Instagram. I was trying to find him. I was like, who the hell were they?
Yeah.
All I knew was Anderson .Paak. And then I walked in there, started freestyling. Next thing you know, I'm in a circle with Anderson .Paak and the Free Nationals, and he's beatboxing, and I actually went for like a minute, and I felt like 10, 15 seconds, and I was just freestyling, and after I was done, because Anderson .Paak was sitting there like with his big teeth and his big smile and his glasses
yeah.
on, looking exactly like Anderson .Paak, he dapped me up, and he set his water down, and then they all dapped me up in a circle, and it was like the contrast of like going from meeting Logic, somebody I look up to, and that not working out, to like going to meet Anderson .Paak and freestyling for him, actually showing me love, not even knowing who this random kid is that just walked into his trailer after he got done performing.
Mm.
He could have been like, who is this dude? Get him out of here. Like, I'm tired. Like, I've been performing.
Yeah.
But nah, he was still feeling the vibe, and he had let me kick a freestyle, so.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
The funny thing is like, that almost seems way more organic to like it happened very naturally when you just said about, say, if you went into Anderson Paak's trailer and he's like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, it's almost like with Logic too. Logic was like, I'm tired, I really don't want to meet nobody, but with Anderson .Paak, you know, he was there when you were doing the thing, like that, just, you know, there's almost that contrast.
Yeah,
but that's amazing.
Yeah, it was cool, and I don't hold a grudge towards Logic, because right after, it just showed me, it was like, why hold a grudge? Your life is good. Keep doing you.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
My song called Damn Shame on my album Waves, it explains that whole encounter in detail. I don't know if me on this interview explaining that whole encounter did it justice, and if it didn't, go listen to Damn Shame, and it will show you.
Your excitement for that is really coming across, though. I can really feel like you're actually like reliving the moment almost when you're telling it to me.
Definitely. This is crazy the first time, because I've told this story many times to like family and friends, but like, this is the first time it's going to be out there forever. I'm going to look back on this and be like, glad I didn't throw dirt on Logic's name. But
I'm just going to watch this.
But God damn it, Logic.
We're going to hear first.
Logic, we're going to be friends one day, and I'm going to be like, you were a dick. And you're going to be like, yeah, I was. And then we're going to actually give a real hug.
Yeah. And he's going to make you solve, like, a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah. You're going to teach me how to solve that shit so I can get girls. Because that's what he says in his album, solving the Rubik's Cube. See, I'm a Logic fan. I know Logic, so I was so hurt by the way he was just condescending, but I'm over it.
I'll tell you, man, I was really disappointed with his last record, the one that came out, like, 2 months ago.
See, I didn't even listen because I was kind of... working on my album, and I'm easing back into listening to Logic, but I definitely like him.
Mm.
But you were saying
it was like disappointing.
Okay, which one?
What was the name of it? That's how much I just.
Is it the Red album? What,
the one where
Supermarket?
He's like, no, it was the one after that. Oh God, the Dangerous, something Dangerous.
Oh, Dangerous Mind,
something like that.
I don't know. I stopped listening, not because I But I just, it was like, I haven't listened to him in a minute.
Yeah.
But I haven't been keeping up.
The project seemed like super unfocused, super just like, you really didn't.
Like,
his writing was like, you know, Logic.
Yeah.
Like, Under Pressure, like The Incredible True Story,
deep,
everybody.
Like cohesive.
The writing was really good on those.
Yeah.
But this one, he just seemed like he didn't care.
Okay.
You know, and he was just.
Or that he was talking about the same old shit.
Same old, kind of, but he was like almost being petty towards people on the internet not liking him.
Okay.
It almost seemed like he was giving it too much attention.
Yeah.
To go way too much focus.
Oh, okay.
Of the album.
Of the album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's one thing I definitely want to make sure I don't do. When I feel some type of way about a topic, I need to make sure I don't go too hard on it so that it takes away from, like, the actual art itself.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I when I touch on things deep like that, that irk me in a way, I don't want to get too deep into it so that it fucks up the project.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can see that happening. I've watched a couple of interviews that he's had that he feels that way towards, like, social media and towards how people are interacting.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand that, but yeah, if you fuck every project over it.
Yeah. And the internet's a cruel place,
yeah.
Man. I mean, like, if you go into the comment section, like,
yeah.
It's just going to be really
yeah.
mean.
Yeah, that's what
know?
He said. He said he literally got off social media for, like, a half a year.
Yeah.
And, like, had somebody run it for him.
Yeah.
And he was like, he feels like a brand new him.
Do you ever pay attention to that kind of stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I'm consumed in it, honestly, because I look for feedback, and people do give feedback. But, yeah, I'm. One day I'll pull out of it, but right now, like, I'm at the... It's my tool. I have to interact with people so that I can understand how to become a better me. What they... I want to know what they want to hear, but I'm definitely... I need to stay me
mm-hmm.
in the end. But yeah, I use social media a lot so that I can understand what, like, everybody's looking for.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be, like, you have to really understand what you're looking for, I guess, in those comments,
yeah.
because you can either, like, take the really bad
yeah.
or, like...
I haven't got the hate.
Yeah.
But I think...
That's good.
I think the hate only really happens when you're popping.
Mm-hmm.
Or when...
People do want to bring you down.
Or
they do.
Or if they're just talking shit behind your back. They won't do it on social media if they think you'll actually see it.
Yeah.
But, yeah... No hate yet.
Yeah.
Yet, because I know it's coming once I pop off.
Yeah, I don't know. People just are really resentful over really stupid things and...
Over seeing someone do better.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's just like, why are you being... You're clearly not happy with yourself,
right.
So don't take
right.
it out on other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just kind of be happy for
but
them.
I don't hate them for it.
No.
I don't hate them for it. I wish them the best. I hope that they can get out of that slump of...
Hate
negative thinking.
Yeah. People, I don't know, it's just a bad way of living life because you're just miserable and you're just looking just to be mad at something else,
yep.
you know. So, what have you been listening to lately? I asked Mason this question yesterday and he actually gave me some good answers.
Okay.
So I'm going to hear what you've been, really.
Shit, so Coda the Friend.
Okay.
Coda the Friend is one of the dopest artists. He's been actually putting out projects for like the past, it's 2019, he's been putting out shit since like 2015, I think.
Mm.
And he just dropped his third album, and I just saw a post from him today, and it said, like, he has, like, 25 million streams or something like that.
What was his name again?
Coda the Friend. He
Coda
is, like, I love that dude, honestly. He just entered my top 10, just artists
yeah.
of all time.
Man. That's crazy, because I've not heard, have you heard of this guy?
You're gonna, mm-hmm. and you're gonna... You're gonna be like, damn, I was asleep. I was sleep. He just talks that real. He's kind of like J. Cole in a way,
mm-hmm.
but he's all his beats are more like relaxed and like guitar-y, like I don't know. He's just fresh. He's just a really chill, like, vibe rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he's speaking about real topics.
Yeah.
So he keeps the bars on lock, but he's definitely melodic in his own way.
Mm. I'll have to check him out.
Yeah,
right,
I'm
cause...
excited about him. I've been overdoing it, honestly. But Russ, I listen to Russ, a lot of Russ. I listen to the GOATs constantly. So, Cole, Tupac, everybody like that. But new artists? Me. Me, motherfucker.
Who else?
Right. Yeah. Preston Holmes.
That's
Waves.
Good. Check it out.
Check it out.
Wave. Oh yeah, I forgot.
Oh, you got the T-shirt.
Hey, hey,
man.
This is the album cover, so when you see it, you'll know. Click it. It's the SoundCloud. This is the SoundCloud bar, and then it goes into like a little boat.
Oh, that's pretty sick.
Yeah, wavy.
Did you have any problems like clearing any samples?
No, because all the samples, well, some of them aren't even cleared, and honestly, you only really need to get them cleared when you're popping. But like the samples that my producer used that already came in his beats, he already owned those. Like as a producer, you get like packs of like different sounds. You can buy a pack of sounds you can use.
Yeah.
So he owns those. But like my Forrest Gump, I'd probably have to get that cleared if Bob took off.
Yeah. But I did love that part in the song because it was almost like it blindsided me. You know, and
that's what I was going for.
I'm a big Tom Hanks fan too.
Oh, okay.
I just love his movies. You know, I have like such an emotional tie to it. So then when I heard that, it almost like, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, like, that's cool. You know. But what do you see for the future? Like, what do you think about next moves?
Next moves. I'm dropping an EP on October 15th, I'm hoping is the date. Don't quote me. Shit, I shouldn't have said anything. But just keep releasing quality music, get better at my craft, and yeah, make a career out of this.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's my main thing.
Yeah.
Just trying to make this something I can wake up, get in the studio, and do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And just have fun with my music.
That's all that's really important, you know?
Right.
But I think some people, they almost don't, they get to a certain point where they're like, I'm done. You know, I've been at this for like 5 years.
Yeah.
7 years.
Nah,
like,
I don't see that for me. This is all I could do, honestly. I don't have a choice anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I ever stopped, it'd be because I had like some big shit come up and I needed to like reset my brain.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'll always come back to the music. I know it.
That's great. Because
I'm a poet.
Yeah.
So like, I would just feel not myself.
If you didn't do it.
I'm not doing this music for the wrong reasons. I'm doing it because it's fun for me. It's a way of expressing myself.
Mm.
I'm not doing it for the followers or the fame or the money, honestly. I do it. But that's nice so that I can...
It's a bonus.
It's a bonus.
Yeah.
It'll make me be able to perfect my craft and make it better. But, like, I just do it because I love it. So.
Some of the artists that do it for the money, it almost comes off in, like, their songs.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? And I think that's where... You know, they don't have that longevity in pursuing it.
Yeah.
You know, because they're like, oh, I'm not getting paid for
right.
this. They don't necessarily love it anymore.
Yeah.
It's more about the money.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that comes across. But would you ever want to be signed or would you rather stay independent?
I don't really know, honestly. But, like, J. Cole wants to sign me to Dreamville, I'll probably sign.
Yeah.
I'll probably 100% sign.
He seems like he's good to his artists, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. The whole Dreamville community seems like the best community of rappers and artists out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love Boss. I love Jid. I love all of them. So, I would sign there, but honestly, I'm not really into any other record labels. I don't really think anybody's that cool.
Yeah.
So, it'd have to be like them or nothing. Honestly.
Because there is a lot of rules and regulations when it comes to like releasing music.
Exactly.
You
I don't want restrictions. I don't even want to have to worry about that at all. I want to just do me and release it. And that's honestly what the industry is shifting towards. Like, record labels aren't going to be around forever.
They're not, no. When people think of the business of the music industry, I almost feel like it's really shifting to something completely different. I don't have a name for it.
Yeah,
even.
Me neither. I don't even know. But I know it's not going to be the same in the next 20 years.
Mm.
Going to change.
It's probably because like the internet, the streaming era.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's like,
everything's just...
You don't have to sign with the record label anymore.
You
can just like put a project out overnight or, you know, keep working on it and you'll get a lot of traction. And with social media, you know what I mean? It's like, why do we need to go to a label?
Right, exactly.
You know? Yeah. And I think that's the best thing, one of the best things about modern technology is that.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about Chance the Rapper a bit, because he was, like, the first guy who was, like, almost fundamentally against the labels, like, when he did 10-day acid rap, and even Coloring Book, to an extent, he was just like, this is going to be free.
Yeah.
I know Coloring Book wasn't free immediately, because I know it went on iTunes, and then he did, then he did it for free, I think, on like SoundCloud and everything. But he was a guy who I really enjoyed listening to, and that was like kind of a cool, like almost protest.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and when he was on the Joe Budden podcast, I think, like last year, and he was like, okay, just as long as you have like your publishing and your masters, you'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you always want to have
exactly.
in your label.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, Chance, that whole, right when that coloring book dropped, that was like a, I'll be looking back on that, it'll be like a beautiful, it was a beautiful time.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, it's a beautiful record,
yeah.
like, from start to finish, you know? When it starts with, like, All We Got,
yeah.
with Kanye.
Oh my god.
And it was just like these.
I saw that live.
You did?
Yeah, in Bonnaroo.
That gives me goosebumps,
yeah.
you telling me that.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Man. And I just, like, and it transitions so well from, like, the first three songs, so like No Problem, and then like Summer Friends.
Yeah.
Because when you when I heard Summer Friends, it like really gave me that childhood nostalgia of like going to like a summer camp.
I've definitely cried listening to like, I think it was Summer Friends. I had like a legit, I shed tears.
Because it's like, it kind of hits you, especially when I think Jeremiah comes on the bridge like close to the end, and it's like, yeah. That's like such a nice moment.
Yeah.
And that happened the same with, Same Drugs.
Yeah.
Especially when it was like really faded out.
Yeah.
Like, we don't do this now.
Beautiful music.
Mm-hmm.
God, I love Chance.
Yeah. And like, it's almost like parallel in a way to Acid Rap, where Acid Rap was a little bit darker because he was having problems with like Xanax and things like that. And
it's crazy. It shows the evolution of his life, his music. And I think I want that to be the case for all artists.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to like kind of at least each project kind of show how your life is moving along. But now music is more like, I'm going to release two or like five lit songs and not really give a shit about like
the art,
making it kind of a story. Yeah. It's definitely getting watered down in a way.
Mm.
But
yeah. So what artist do you think presents that in the best way? The way that you just described, where you look at their discography and you can...
Cole.
That was going to be my first guest.
Yeah. Cole. I think Logic. I think Logic is definitely shows how he's moving, how he's growing. He talks about his life a lot.
Yeah.
And I love that.
He wears so much of like his heart on his sleeve.
Yeah.
In his music.
Yeah.
Like, when you listen to like the Young Sinatra mixtapes.
Yeah.
And then when you go into like Under Pressure. And Under Pressure is like gritty. You feel
right.
like more grit.
Yeah, right.
But then he moves into like a more thematic place with the Incredible True Story.
Yeah.
And it's like, you feel like all his interests, like his interest in sci-fi and gaming.
You get to know him better.
And I think that's great.
Yeah.
That's what I like about him a lot.
Same. That's what I love about most artists that I love. They all have some sort of code of the friend. He does that really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like his music is his discography.
Yeah. Yeah. So... I'll ask you one last question.
Yeah.
Besides Cole, and this is just like circumferencing every hip hop artist, you know, who do you think is the best or has like the longest career longevity to this point? Like, who do you
besides
think?
Besides Cole.
Besides Cole.
Fuck.
I want to put you in like
a longevity. I'd say I'd have to go with and will continue to. I think. Probably Russ.
You think?
Yeah, because he's been releasing songs since 2010. He when he started releasing songs, he was like 14, and he was putting the shit on iTunes, and it's all on there still.
Yeah,
and people don't even know that it exists. And he started out really good, and he's still really good and much better.
Mm.
And I only see him getting better. So he's one of the artists. There's more. That have a really good started strong and I think will finish strong.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just going to go with Russ because I think he deserves some respect that he doesn't get in the industry.
I like your opinion on that.
Yeah.
I kind of felt that way. I was thinking about, it's a question that I was thinking about recently for myself, like, who do I think? And I had a big idea of, like, Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Classic guy, like classic rapper, been around forever, before I was born, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I think about his career arc, it's almost like three parts of like a play.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on like his third act now before he retires.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
But he kind of had a few bad albums, I think, with like Magna Carta and Blueprint 3 weren't that good.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went through that whole thing with Beyonce. And then he did 444.
Yeah.
And it was, like, completely different in terms of, like, themes and lyrical content to what he was used to. And that was, like, his third act to me.
Yeah.
It was, like, he was being really honest. More honest than I've ever heard him on any album.
Yeah.
Because it's always been super braggadocious.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he has talked about really personal shit.
Definitely.
But this one was, like, much more intimate. You felt like you were in his house or his home.
Yeah.
Like, you were in his, like, marriage almost. And I thought that was, for an artist like him, who has a super big personality,
right,
it was, like, really humble.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, this is really, like, you know,
yeah,
I can't relate to that, but I could relate to his authenticity.
Yeah,
about
definitely.
It.
You can empathize with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we'll wrap it up, because I think we're finished.
I was going to say Drake.
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 Yes.
Oh, man.
Drake started hot, and he's still hot, and he's always going to be hot.
He picks up like sounds and goes with it, and just like he's
so he
matches with that.
That's the best out of anybody, maybe even better than J. Cole. I think he just conforms to them and makes it his own.
Mm.
The best in the game, honestly.
Yeah, he was like an artist for a long time where I was like, I don't want to get into him because all the girls like him.
Yeah,
and then I kind of got into him.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like I couldn't help it.
Like
he was like pulling me in,
yeah,
and I was like, man. But we saw him live in March, actually. And
dude, his concerts are so expensive. I'm still broke. I don't got that rapper money yet, so
we paid, like, 150 euro a ticket.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Okay, maybe it isn't that bad, but
wait,
we thought it was a lot.
Euro's much less than...
Mm-hmm.
Or is it more?
It's more.
It's more.
Oh, okay, so you probably paid, like, 210. Because, yeah, I paid...
It was probably, like, 175
okay.
USD.
Okay.
But it was a nuts show. He had, like, this Lamborghini go through the sky. And, like, everyone
was
crazy.
Yeah, he's the goal. That's the goal. That is the goal.
He's
a
superior entertainer,
yeah,
you know?
He passed the Beatles for more. He has one of the top 10 hits.
Dude.
The Beatles.
When he said on the Meek Mill song, I got more slaps than the Beatles.
Yeah.
I was like, does he really?
Yeah.
And then I looked it up.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, me too.
Okay, before we finish up, I do want to ask you this, and it's to do with Drake.
Okay.
It's to do with, like, I don't talk to many people about it.
Yeah.
But it was the Pusha T beef last year.
Okay.
Did you pay attention to any
Definitely.
Of that?
Definitely. I have an opinion on that. Keep going.
Man, I love... Ever since, like, I've always kind of followed Pusha T a little bit.
Yeah.
But when he did Daytona, and I thought that was just, like, 21 minutes, 7
mm-hmm.
songs, straight through, like, super clean, great album.
Yeah.
But then when the whole Drake thing happened,
yeah,
I thought he just, like... It's almost, like, calculated. He, like, almost planned it.
Yeah.
You know?
Honestly, he was clout chasing. He was using Drake's name,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. And they say anything goes in the rap game. You can say whatever you want about whoever you
whoever,
want.
Yeah.
But when you attack a person who has MS, which is a disease that kills millions of people every year,
mm-hmm.
which he was talking about 40, Drake's producer.
Yeah.
When you make fun of that, he said something to the effect of like tick 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 because he's sick like
mm-hmm.
losing time. I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
So, what? Like, how is that allowed?
Yeah.
You lose right there. You should lose all your fan base.
Yeah.
Because you're making fun. That's like saying, oh, your friend has cancer and he's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck kind of shit is that? I was like, nah, you took the L right there. And then Drake, being the bigger person and just the GOAT, like, I knew he would be, didn't say shit and let it go. And that was the smartest move of his career, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, like, I almost felt like Drake took the piece of bait when he did, I can't remember the diss song that he did after, when Pusha T did Infrared.
Oh, okay.
And then Drake did another
song.
I
honestly didn't hear anything other than that, but, I only heard his Pusha T's diss, but I was like, you're garbage for that.
Yeah.
But I like Pusha T, and I'm pissed at Pusha T for being like that, because, like, dude, how can you say that about somebody?
Dude, you should listen into the... When he was on the Joe Budden podcast,
yeah,
there was, like, a lot of light to that situation.
Oh, okay.
And it was, like, really almost profound in
really?
The way that Pusha T was talking about it. And all like,
right. I'll have to look at it.
Because, like, we'll get into it another time,
yeah,
because I know we're probably going to wrap up.
Yeah.
Because we've been talking for a while.
Yeah.
So.
We
all
can
right.
go forever.
All right.
Like
man.
Each other.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for doing this, man. It was fun.
Yeah.
All right. You want to plug your...
Hello, everybody. My name's Preston Holmes. Rapper out of Omaha, Nebraska, and just dropped my first debut studio album called Waves. It's on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, dropping music videos to follow it up, getting ready to perform at a fucking Palooza and Culture Con here in a couple weeks.
And Candyland.
And Candyland, not performing there, but getting lit there.
Not doing
Candyland. Shout out to 1 Know Entertainment for putting me on these hot ass shows. That's the biggest blessing. So, yeah, Preston Holmes, Waves, check me out. Stay up.
All
right. My Instagram, Preston E. Holmes. That's where you need to, that's where I push myself the most. Preston E. Holmes on Instagram. Don't miss me. Popping up soon. Sitting near you.
Scoo, scoo.